Well, I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me this morning to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. So right now, as far as our church family is concerned, met with some of the parents before service. So we have Junior Children's Church, which is, of course, ages 4 to kindergarten, and God has supplied greatly for that ministry, and He's put it in the hearts of folks, and they're excited about serving in that area. But for the older age group, where God has us right now is they're going to be sitting with us, and I see this as an opportunity, like Sally is sitting. Well, you guys wouldn't. You're like middle school kids. But you get the point. But Miss Wendy is sitting with Jack and Sophie, and I think that's so awesome. And you know what we could do as a church family? We could sit with and help with these families who have kids that are going to be sitting with them. And man, what a great opportunity to bring us closer together as a church family. Hey, do you mind if I sit with you and hang out? And you know, I remember some of my best memories as a kid is sitting at church with my granddaddy and nanny and getting a hymn book and drawing. But still, the presence of my grandfather there and my nanny there and sitting with them in church. And then when I got sleepy, nanny would scoot down and I would stretch out and I would lay my head on granddaddy's leg and I would go to sleep. You can't do that in the service now. The kids can do that, but the adults cannot do that. And so, you know, this is where God has us right now, and who knows, down the road, the Lord may just put it within the hearts of some of you that, hey, I want to that age group, first grade through, I believe it's third or fourth grade, hey, that age group, I have a heart and a passion for them, and I want to minister to them during this time. And so when God does that, then we'll move. But right now, this is where God has us. And so I'm excited about you guys being in here. And I'm excited about how God is going to use it to bring us closer together as a church family. Proverbs chapter 3, we jump back into the book of Proverbs today. And really excited about jumping back in as we learn more about God's wisdom for daily living. God's wisdom, let me just say, God's wisdom is not some impersonal force. You know, we live in a world today where if I say Star Wars, everybody pretty much knows, right? Mike, right? Mike? So, Star Wars, you know, there is may the what be with you? May the force be with you. And so you've got kind of like the dark side and you've got the force and the light side. And I don't know all the, but it's kind of like this force. And if we're not careful when we talk about God's wisdom, we can think of it as just some kind of impersonal force that's out there. No, God's wisdom is embodied in God Himself. God is the source of wisdom. And so when we talk about wisdom for living, we're talking about knowing God, who is the source of all wisdom. And the more that we know God, the more we know the wisdom, the more we know how life works. So as we grow in our relationship with God, we grow, God pours His wisdom into our hearts, and we know that this is how I'm to live my life. And when we live our lives according to God's wisdom and according to God's plan, it doesn't mean that everything's just going to be, you know, perfect and problem-free and stress-free. No, that's not what life is like, the reality of living in a fallen, sinful world. We're going to go through the stuff that everyone else goes through. But when we live according to God's wisdom, as we will see today, there is a peace, there is a blessedness, there is a security, there is a stability. Life works when we live according to God's wisdom. But when we don't live according to God's wisdom, that's when things fall apart. And you don't have to look very far to see when people try to live their life according to their own way and not according to God's wisdom, outwardly things may appear to be in order, but inwardly is where things certainly are falling apart. There's no peace. There's no joy. And so we want to talk about today in Proverbs 3, verses 13, all the way down through verse 26, the value of wisdom. The value of wisdom. And so let's look at our text today, and then we're going to see how valuable God's wisdom is, the surpassing greatness of His value. And we just sang about, Lord, You're more precious than silver. Lord, You're more costly than gold. Lord, You're more beautiful than diamonds. And there's a reason why we sang that, because these first few verses talk just about that. Look at verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. So that word blessed brackets this first little section, and this is going to be our first point. Verse 13, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. Verse 18, she is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold fast of her are called blessed. The second section is just two verses, verses 19 and 20, and it focuses on God's wisdom and creation. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, and by understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge the deeps broke open, and the clouds dropped down the dew. And then the last section is verses 21 through 26, and the word keep brackets this section that shows us the value of wisdom. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Let me just say that my sleep was not sweet Friday night with no power in the house. My heart had sweetness, but my body did not experience that. Verse 25, do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. So there's that word keep again that brackets this section. Verse 21, my son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Verse 26, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. So this morning, I see the value of wisdom in three ways. The first way is in verses 13 through 18. The value of wisdom is seen, first of all, in that it provides or gives blessings that money can't buy. The value of wisdom is seen, first of all, in that it provides blessings that money can't buy. That word blessedness describes those who walk in God's wisdom. Blessed is the one who finds it. Verse 13, those who hold fast to her are called blessed. In other words, what he's saying is wisdom is what we must set our sights on. We must find it. Verse 13, blessed is the one who finds wisdom. And then verse 18, blessed are those who hold fast to wisdom. And he's comparing finding wisdom, holding fast to wisdom with silver and gold and precious diamonds. And he's saying here that those who are blessed have searched, have found it, have obtained it, and are holding on to it. Set your sights on God's wisdom. God's wisdom is what needs to be the goal of our life, not money. Making money should not be the goal. We all need money, but don't set your sights on money, he's saying. Aim at wisdom. Focus at wisdom. Set your sights on God's wisdom. Zero in on God's wisdom and the money that you need to make, the money that's right for you, God will provide. You'll make the money that you need for your family. Aim at wisdom, find wisdom, search for it, and hold on to it. And he says that it's way more valuable than silver or gold. Look what he says in verse 14. He says, the gain from her is better than silver. The gain from silver. And her profit is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Money can put food on the table. Only wisdom can put joy and laughter around the table. Money can buy you a house. Only wisdom can make a home. Money can buy women, jewelry, diamonds, but only wisdom can win her heart. Only wisdom can give her the love that she really wants. For you see, in God's wisdom, it's not about getting, it's about giving. God's wisdom is not about what can you do for me, and that's the world that we live in today, right? We live in a consumer world. And it's all about what can you do for me? What can you provide for me? But according to God's wisdom is, how can I serve you? What can I do for you? Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, in God's wisdom, it's not about getting, it's about giving. And he says in this verse that those who find God's wisdom and keep it are blessed. You know why? It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Acts 20:35. I wonder how many people in our area, and you know the sign that I'm talking about. If you go down Wichduck Road and you get on 264, like you're going to the beach, right when you get on the interstate going to the beach, there's this big billboard with a huge number on it, right? It's the jackpot. You know what I'm talking about? And it's always changing. How many people in our area drive by that every day and they think, I would be so blessed if I won that. I would be so happy. I would be so blessed. Life would be awesome if I won that. And that's their thought. There's no telling how many people look at that and they drive by it and they say, man, I would be so, life would be so amazing if I won that. And here's what God's word says. No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. Yeah, maybe you could pay your house off and I'm talking about apart from the Lord. But people who set their sights on that, people who set their their goal on getting more of that and having more and just thinking and dreaming and longing that, man, if I just had all that, life would be blessed, life would be great. But according to God's wisdom, and we've all heard it, money can't buy you what? It can't buy you happiness. It can't buy you happiness. Here's what God says. If you aim at my wisdom, my way for living, if you aim at me, if you focus on me, there is a blessedness. He describes that blessedness in verse 17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are paths of peace. Listen, money can't buy you peace of heart. Money can't buy you a pleasant life. Money can't buy you the long life and the honor in verse 16. Money can't purchase that. Only the Lord can. Only Jesus can. Only knowing his wisdom can. Money can sometimes enhance and prolong your life, but only wisdom can give you eternal life. And that's what the focus is on verse 18. He says, she is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. That tree of life is mentioned in Genesis, and it's mentioned in Revelation. That tree of life is a symbol of eternal life. And here's what God is saying today. God is saying that if you will find wisdom, if you will hold on to wisdom, if you will trust in me and live according to my plan for your life, it will be life eternal for you. It will be a tree of life for you. If you follow God's wisdom in this life, and that's your goal and your aim, and you live according to it, one day you will partake of the tree of life in the new heaven and the new earth. Revelation 22 describes that tree as having a different fruit each month of the year. What a picture. And that tree, of course, of life represents Jesus Christ, finding Jesus, holding on to Jesus. And so the first value of wisdom that we see in our text today is that wisdom provides a blessedness that money can't buy. The second value that we see of wisdom in our text today has to do with creation. And it's by wisdom that God established and sustains the world. It's by wisdom that God established and sustains the world. It says in verses 19 and 20, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. What are we being taught today? What have we been taught for quite a while now about the beginnings of creation? We are taught everywhere. National Geographic, History Channel, in our schools, we are taught that the universe just happened. We are taught that through some kind of Big Bang or some kind of evolution, we've been taught that we emerged out of some primordial goo by just sheer happenstance and luck and evolution. But the truth is, it's the wisdom of God that established the universe. It is the wisdom of God that formed and created this planet Earth that we live on. It's the wisdom of God that not only created and established it, but it's the wisdom of God that sustains it. Each and every day, the wisdom of God sustains it. And look at the example that he uses to describe how God's wisdom sustains. It has to do with the dew and the rain. So everything that he said in verses 19 and 20 is past tense. The Lord founded the earth. He established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open. But then in that last phrase, it's in the present tense, which means that God in his wisdom is presently sustaining the universe. The clouds drop down the dew. So the Bible is very clear that not only is God the sovereign creator of all things, but he is also the sustainer of all things and holds all things together. I want you to think about the wisdom of dew, the dew that drops, and the wisdom of rain. And I want you to listen to John Piper wrote a Thanksgiving meditation about rain in the context of a farmer in the Middle East. Listen to what he says. And just, it helps us to get a picture of the infinite wisdom of God in creation that we're not even aware of. He says, picture yourself as a farmer in the Near East, far from any lake or stream. You have a few wells that keep the family and animals supplied with water. But if the crops are to grow and the family is to be fed from month to month, water has to come on the fields from another source. From where? Well, the sky. The sky? Water will come out of the clear blue sky? Well, not exactly. Water will have to be carried in the sky from the Mediterranean over hundreds of miles and then be poured from the sky onto the fields. Water carried? How much does it weigh? Well, if 1 inch of rain falls on 1 square mile of farmland during the night, that would be 28 million cubic feet of water, which is 206 million gallons of water, which is 1,650 pounds of water. You got all that? I'm glad somebody did the math for me. Some of you in here could do that. I know, and it would be no problem, but I'm not that kind of person. So if 1 square inch of rain fell on 1 square mile of farmland during the night, that would be 28 million cubic feet of water, 206 million gallons of water, and 1,650 pounds of water. He goes on to say, man, that's heavy. So how does it get up in the sky and stay up there if it's so heavy? Well, it gets up there by evaporation. Really? That's a nice word, but what does it mean? It means that the water sort of stops being water for a while so it can go up and not down. Oh, I see. Well, then how does it get down? Well, condensation happens. What's condensation? Well, the water starts becoming water again by gathering around tiny dust particles that are so small that the eye can't see. Oh, okay. Well, how about the salt? Salt? Yes, the Mediterranean Sea is salt water. That would kill the crops. What about the salt? Well, the salt has to be taken out. Oh, so the sky picks up billions of pounds of water from the sea, takes it up, takes out the salt, then carries it for hundreds of miles, and then dumps it on the farm. Well, it doesn't dump it. Because if it dumped 1 billion pounds of water in the farm, then the crops would be crushed. So the sky dribbles billions of pounds of water down in little drops. Did y'all get all that? Now, there's only one explanation for that. God. God in His wisdom. And that's just one tiny thing of creation. One tiny thing that we take for granted, don't we? We take rain for granted. We take it for granted. I tell you what, though, those farmers who live way, way far away from lakes or streams and no irrigation, they don't take it for granted. God, in His infinite wisdom, not only established, and so there's two ideas that He wants to communicate in these verses about our God and creation. It's the word established, and so there's that stability, and then there's the sustaining life through the bringing of rain. And so what is He saying? Here's what He's saying. If God in His wisdom can establish creation, if God in His wisdom can continue to sustain His creation and take care of His creation, what do you think God can do in our lives? What do you think God can do in your life if you will live according to His wisdom? You know what God will do? He will keep you grounded and established. When you live according to God's wisdom, there will be a stability to your life. He founded, He established. There's a foundation there. And not only that, but He'll continue to pour the rain, the life-giving rain upon your life, and He'll continue to sustain you and hold your life together day in and day out if you live according to God's wisdom. So when you look at creation, all of creation, every bit of creation, and we'll see more of it as we get through Proverbs, every bit of creation screams of the wisdom of God. And it's not just rain. And I know that we have some really bright people in here who could talk a lot more about creation. And all of it just proclaims the wisdom and the glory of God. The psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And they do. They declare His glory. And so the value of wisdom is seen in creation, in the stability and the sustaining power. And as we live according to God's wisdom, what do we experience? We experience a stability of life and a sustaining and refreshing and a holding together of our life. But boy, you step outside of God's wisdom, there is no stability. And there is no life-giving, sustaining, holding together power. I've shared this example recently because recently, as a church family, we have experienced a lot of loss. Bonnie's sitting back there today. Carlisle's in heaven with Jesus. Lillian sitting over here. ST's up there with Jesus. And I know there's many others. I could call many names. But as a church family, we've experienced it. And I don't know how many funerals I've done. I've done a lot of them. And the overwhelming majority of the funerals that I've done, thank God, are the funerals of people who knew Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. People who sought to live their lives according to the wisdom of God. And let me just say that in those services, there is a peace and there is a joy and there is a glory that you can't hardly even put it into words. The last funeral that was here was Jerry Sr. And I mean, it was like the glory of God just fell upon this place. And that You see, the talk about the value of God's wisdom and living according to God's wisdom, and you experience God holding together the glory of God, sustaining the glory of God, being the foundation for that family. But let me just say, I've also done a few funerals of people who didn't know the Lord. And there is no foundation. There is no hope. And it's sad, and it breaks your heart for those who did not receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and live according to God's plan and God's wisdom for their life. They didn't experience that stability, that foundation, that joy. Going to the funeral of a Christian and going to the funeral of a non-Christian is like day and night. Day and night. Hope, joy, peace mixed with sorrow. And here, it's just all sorrow without hope. We see the value of God's wisdom and how He establishes and sustains and keeps and holds together. And then lastly, when we look at God's wisdom, we see the value of God's wisdom in that it will guard and keep us, protect us in this sinful world that we live in. Look back at Proverbs chapter 3. The idea of guarding and keeping is emphasized, as I pointed out, in verses 21 and 26. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and an adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, you will not be afraid, and when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. You will not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and He will keep your foot from being caught. Do you see that phrase, the Lord will be your confidence? You know what that literally means? It means that the Lord will be by your side. The Lord will be by your side. You don't have to be alone or face the things in this life alone, that God will be at your side. And you don't have to be afraid. Friday, our church family, and I hope Christopher doesn't mind me mention, but our daughter, Kristen, and her husband, Christopher. Christopher's father went to the doctor Friday for, they were going to look at his heart. We could do a heart cath. And when they did the heart cath, and after they finished, they said, you can't go home. You've got to go to Norfolk General. You've got to have two bypasses for sure. And so yesterday, Friday, in the hurricane, Chris's dad had open heart surgery. And just that quick, right? And so Wendy and I went up there, and his whole family was there. They have three boys, Chris and his two brothers and their wives and their family. And, of course, his pastor was there, and people from the church were there. And so we were all just crowded in that room. And you know what? That's how God planned it. That when we go through stuff in life, that we have people to walk with us through that. That our family and our Christian family is there to walk with us through that stuff. And so we gathered together, and we had prayer, and then we were able to go down to the next floor, and family was still able to kind of spend some time with them. But if you've had surgery, you know there comes a time when no more family can go in, right? When they're going to take you into the operating room, it's not, you know, your wife can't go in there, you know, your kids can't go in there. Your pastor can't go in there. It's just you and the doc and the nurses. But here's what these last few verses tell us. These last few verses tell us the value of God's wisdom is we don't have to be afraid because we have a God who will stand right by our side. And here's the good news for Arnie when he went back there. Yeah, the family was gone, but Jesus Christ was right there with him. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, when he was standing and giving a defense for his life, he said, all forsook me. There was no one there, but Jesus Christ was there strengthening me. The value of wisdom is that God will keep us. He will keep us as we walk by the way, and He will keep us when we lie down. He'll keep us when we go back into that operating room and it's only us. He said, I will be your confidence. I will be by your side. And I'll tell you the time where we really need it the most, where no one can stand with us. It's when we stand before Jesus. You see, there's coming a day when each and every one of us, and as much as I love my wife, and I couldn't make it without her by my side, there's coming a day when Todd Haynes is going to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the only way I can stand in that day and not be afraid is because Jesus Christ is right there next to me. And Jesus says, I paid for his sins. They're covered in the blood. It's not his righteousness, it's my righteousness. Accept him, Father, because of my holiness and righteousness. And I have no reason to be afraid because the Lord is my confidence. Listen, you talk about the value of wisdom? God will keep those who keep his way and his wisdom. And so my question for you today as we close, as you think about standing before the Lord and it's just you and God is examining, does that strike fear in your heart this morning? And if it does strike fear in your heart, that may be an indicator that you've not trusted in Jesus Christ to be your Savior. That you've not trusted in Jesus to forgive you and cleanse you and for Jesus to be your righteousness and holiness. And if that's the case, man, this is a great day for you because today you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe today the Lord has spoken to you. Maybe you've got your eyes off Jesus and got your eyes on the things of this world and you've lost that stability, and maybe today the Lord is calling you back to get your eyes on Him. We're going to bow our heads for a word of prayer, and we're going to give you an opportunity this morning to come forward and pray. We'll have some folks to pray with you if you need to do that. Let's bow our heads this morning for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we want to thank you and praise you that in the Word we see the value of wisdom. Lord, the value of wisdom is such that, oh Lord, the blessings are blessings that money just can't buy. Money can't purchase that peace and joy. Money can't purchase forgiveness of sins. Money might can buy a house, but it can't build a home. Oh Lord, thank you for the blessedness that comes from your wisdom. Lord, when we think of your wisdom in creation, oh God, you founded, you established this universe. And not only that, but God, you sustain it. And Lord, if we live according to your wisdom, we experience that same firm foundation. We experience, Lord, you establishing our lives on a firm footing. We experience, Lord, you're continuing to hold our lives together and continuing, Lord, to provide and to take care of us. And then, Lord, as we think of this sinful world that we live in, surrounded, God, with sin and trouble, temptation all around us, Lord, when we live according to your wisdom, you've promised to keep us, to protect us, to guard us, because you will stand right beside us. And now, Lord, I pray that in this invitation, if there's some in the service that need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that this will be the day that they do just that. And Lord, maybe they don't know what that means or how to do that. I pray, God, that you'll just help them to leave their seat and come forward down to the altar, and we'll have someone to pray with them and help them with that. And Lord, maybe there's Christians here today that just need to get their eyes back on Jesus. Lord, I pray that you will help them to do that. And God, we'll just thank you and praise you for what you will do now in this invitation through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.